maybe. Maybe that's where the love gov's going to end up. And as Sally pointed out, just another case of a man with a blood flow problem. There you go. Hey, but here, that's another example of, you know, all of it leaving the cranium. And the idiotic, insane, ridiculous things that someone will do to cover up, just blows my mind. And you would think a 74-year-old guy would be smart enough. Well, evidently not. Hell hath no fury, my friends. Anyway, talk a little bit about this, and let's find out what's going on around the world and check in with our good friend David Yankovich. David, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm kind of laughing. I mean, I'm looking at this governor from Alabama who evidently couldn't keep it in his pants or couldn't keep his text messages to himself.
The rule of law is up and well in this country still.
It's just amazing to me. And, you know, to me, you know, one of the things that I was talking about earlier was the voter ID thing. I mean, here's a guy who went and closed a bunch of DMV centers in the quote-unquote black belt of Alabama, and specifically to, in my view, to suppress the vote and hold down, you know, people and their ability to elect folks like him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been saying it for months. What's done in the dark will come to the light. Throughout the country, everything that's happening, you know, it's going to get reversed, and this is a part of it. You know, he got caught doing something he shouldn't have been doing, just like all of them will, and this is what happens.
No, I mean, it's just one of those hypocritical things. I mean, there's one of the family values, guys.
I look at
the Republican Party in this whole vein of, you know, they're the good, God-fearing Christian folk, and this is what the repressed party does.
It's always hypocritical. Everything that they're doing is hypocritical. So for me, it's just kind of like a, okay, get him out.
Next. No, I'm with you on that for me. But you know, and while it's, you know, it's funny and it's, you know, salacious, and you can read some of the text messages, because evidently his wife took copious amounts of screenshots to save all of these conversations. To me, it's about that voter suppression. It's about, you know, what his official actions were to hold down and to suppress voters.
A few months ago, I heard that President Obama was going to do something big with voter suppression and gerrymandering, but I haven't heard anything since then. Have you?
No, he's on vacation.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's what I heard. I heard he was going to take a big swing at it. I know he's writing his memoirs. He's on vacation. He's doing his thing. And he deserves it.
No, look, he deserves a 3-month vacation.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, you know, thanks to, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that, we've been able to see just how happy he is without us.
I know, it's like when, you know, when your parents get divorced, you see your dad, he's all happy.
That's, okay. Well,
Sorry, I'm in a good mood this morning.
Evidently, wow. Wow. So, yeah, but yeah, that's exactly what it is. He is extremely, extremely happy. I wanted to get your thought on what's going on in Syria, because evidently we're now at war with Syria, according to a lot of the newspaper articles I've seen. According to the BBB, they're the BBC, the Syrian war, we evidently took out 20% of Syria's aircraft. Is that right?
Not that I've heard or read.
Yeah, I mean, or was it 20% of the aircraft that were at that base that they couldn't get out by the time that we scheduled the dropping of the fireworks?
I didn't see anything with the 20%. I saw that, I mean, basically we did very little damage, sent 50 Tomahawks. I know we damaged some aircraft, but I didn't hear it was up to 20%.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the headline was, and that's what the story said. A U.S. strike in response to suspected chemical attack damaged or destroyed 20% of Syria's operational aircraft, the U.S. has said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the U.S. is starting to quote Breitbart News. I don't know if I haven't heard that from anywhere else. I'd have to, you know, double check on that one.
Yeah. Sorry, do we have a new red line? Is this what Trump's doing, a new red line, do you think?
Well, the thing that worried me the most about was the Syria thing was the very next day Trump came out and he said the attack on Syria. You know, congratulations to everybody who participated in it. And when you're the president, your word choice matters.
Yep.
An attack is a war word. And I know that we, you know, a lot of times other presidentials and, you know, presidents in history have said, you know, the mission or the, you know, the operation, but he said the attack on Syria. And that to me kind of started it off. You know where his mind's at.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think it was a success. I don't think that we should be in there right now. I'm all for taking out the bad guys. I really am. But we get in these situations that it's going to be three or four generations that we're going to be there if this is where we're headed.
Right. And the other question, David, is who's the bad guy?
Yeah. And that's the other question. You know, we have Russia, who is the ultimate bad guy right now. And, you know, then we have, you know, Syrians and stuff like that. I mean, it's just it's such a hard situation to be in. Obama went to bomb him in 2013. You know, everybody said no. And then all of a sudden they're congratulating and backpatting Donald Trump for doing it, but he didn't ask Congress. I'm hearing that that's actually could be an impeachable offense, that they did not authorize him to do the strike. So, I mean, there's a whole lot happening there.
So basically, if what you're saying is add that to the list of impeachable offenses, and he hasn't even been in office 100 days yet.
Yeah, I mean, add that to the list of impeachable offenses and things that when they finally do introduce articles of impeachment, it's probably going to look like a Declaration of Independence with, like, you know, 37 paragraphs of things that he's done wrong.
And the thing is it's not funny, but it is a reality. I mean, but here's the thing. The one thing that this attack on Syria, the one thing taking, you know, dropping some fireworks, about $100 million in fireworks, what it has done is it's changed the topic. People aren't talking about, you know, all of the collusion and the possible collusion and collaboration with the Russians during the election. They're not talking about Jeff Sessions perjuring himself. They're not talking about a horrible Supreme Court seat that was ripped off, the great heist. I mean,
just ticked down the list
of the things we're not talking about.
The media, they came out that night and said Donald Trump became president tonight.
Again.
Again, yeah. And then war should always be the last resort possible. A military operation should always be the very, very last thing on your mind. You should always try to use diplomacy. I mean, a lot of what a president does and what makes a president great is the restraint they show, not the power that they show. We have that. We can bomb everybody in the country. That doesn't show power or thinking skills. You know, for me, you know, I mean, he wanted to change the message. And when we have a president who's trying to get his approval ratings out of the gutter, and that's what they go to, he's going to go to it again. You know, he just fired off a tweet about an hour ago about North Korea, saying that they're behaving badly and picking a fight. So I'm really, really concerned about this. But his approval ratings really didn't move after the operation.
I'm surprised. I was predicting a 10-point bump because anytime we throw off – we shoot off missiles, you know, someone gets excited and go, oh, that's presidential, and we're being the tough guy. You're right. I haven't seen that huge bump yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a testament to everybody in this country being awake.
And, you know, you look at that and you go, we need to be really awake.
We really need to be awake, yes.
But here's the thing that bothers me. And, I mean, you look at all of the stuff that you had Trump, you know, it happened on Tuesday. By Thursday, we're bombing. Friday, you know, he's patting everybody on the back. Saturday, Sunday, he's golfing. And now here we are already threatening somebody else. I just saw a story this morning that evidently the Chinese are moving 150,000 troops to the border they have with North Korea because they're anticipating, you know, a mass of refugees and all kind of crisis. I just look at all of this stuff, and he seems to be destabilizing the entire world.
Is Trump destabilizing the entire world, or is Vladimir Putin destabilizing the entire world?
Well, I would say, you know, there's part of me that goes either they're working in concert or, you know, Trump is his puppet. But ultimately, it's Trump making these bad decisions. Putin pulling the strings, if he can get away with it, you know, he's going to get away with it. It's Trump's fault.
Well,
he's the one that's been either being used, manipulated, blackmailed, or just plain freaking stupid.
No, I totally agree with that. We talked last week, and we talked about North Korea. And I said, you know, basically Trump said he's going in whether China likes it or not. And no matter what, for the better or for worse, in the next, you know, 100, 200 years in this country, China is going to either be our partner or our enemy. I mean, we're two superpowers, you know, with the biggest economies in the world.
Yep.
We need China.
Yeah, there's no putting China that genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, we really need to take a step back. I mean, what presidents have done with North Korea for the past 60 years is basically work with China to keep them in check, because war should always be the last option.
And when I read that story, they're going to move 150,000 troops. And that's just a small portion of their army.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have, what, you know, the 2 million-man army. So, it's, I mean, it's a serious thing. Donald Trump isn't looking at the big picture. And listen, I mean, Republican or Democrat, I want the president to succeed because the country succeeds when they do.
Right.
Trump's not that guy. I there's nothing that he's going to do that is going to make people 5 or 8 years from now or 10 years go, that was a really great thing he did. If we go with North Korea, that's going to be a disaster. We're going to be at it with them. We're going to be at it with China. It's going to cause a refugee problem. He's already shown that he doesn't have any qualms about killing civilians and when he bombs them. They're already talking about, has he changed the doctrine where, you know, collateral damage is okay. You know, we have that, you know, everything going on in Syria, and it's just, it's a world situation with a person who has no love of human life.
Yeah. So you're not buying the baby's epiphany. You're not buying the grand epiphany that he saw the pictures of babies, and that just, you know, I think the guy yesterday said he was like the Grinch, and his heart grew 3 sizes that day when he saw those pictures.
You know, those pictures were there before, too. And we're, I don't understand how you can say, we're going to bomb this country. We're going to kill a bunch of these babies and civilians and everything. And then on the other hand, you can't come here. Don't even try to get into this country. You're banned. We'll bomb you.
Well, but isn't that the Trump doctrine? I mean, honestly.
Everybody tries to tell me his pictures did, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that the Trump doctrine, though, that we're going to bomb the you-know-what out of you?
It seems to be that's what it is. Remember what he said in the campaign about how we go after their families?
Yep.
I mean, and I hate saying this because it's the president. It's just, it's the president that disgusts me.
So then the question then becomes, how do we turn this around? I mean, I've watched your success over the last couple of years where you're a guy who had like 20 Twitter followers. Now you're super internet guy. There's a buzz around getting you to run for Congress and to be able to hold someone like Donald Trump accountable. What do we do? What's the path?
I mean, right now, you know, there's an election that's going on. Actually, a couple of states. One of the biggest ones. You know, I mean, all these special elections, but Georgia 6, we got to flip them. We got to take 2017. At the end of 2017, it's going to be a really big election in Virginia. You know, we need to get the lieutenant governorship, and we really just need to work this year on flipping as many seats as we can. And then next year, we have to earn the vote for, you know, I mean, every member of Congress is up. We got to flip the House.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It shouldn't be that hard in 2018, given what we've seen in these first, what, 90 days? Not even 90 days. These first 82 days, I guess it is now. It shouldn't be that hard because, look, almost nothing that Trump ran on, they're committed to one way or the other. Almost nothing that the Republican Party claims to stand for that they do. And look, there's chaos. There's got to be an adult. There's got to be someone, you know, holding people accountable.
I think the most interesting thing right now for me, I talk to people a lot, and a lot of diehard Republican supporters are coming around to Obama. The person that they hated for years. It's like, well, you know what? He really didn't do too bad of a job. And Obamacare, it's not perfect, but they shouldn't be messing with it or anything. They should be working with the Democrats and trying to fix it. All these things for all these years that we've been yelling and screaming about, you know, now they're finally starting to come around to. I think that this year, I think we're going to see in the Georgia 6th and, you know, in a couple of the other races and stuff, that's going to be the momentum that's going to carry us the rest of the year. I mean, it's going to be hard because they have a lot of money and they do have a lot of supporters. And, you know, if Russia influences the election again or whatever, you know, everybody needs to be on their A game this time. No one can stay home.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I look at that special election in Georgia, and it's kind of funny. I mean, if you think about it, the whole campaign idea of make Trump furious.
It would. That's the first way that we can send a referendum on his presidency. That's like the rebuke of the people. If they flip one of the most conservative areas, Newt Gingrich's old seat, to a 30-year-old guy running for Congress with no experience before, that's going to be a big referendum on Trump.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of this, what's going on with the speaker? Because I just saw a comment from the representative from Michigan, M. Ash, who says, you know what, we need new leadership, maybe a new speaker.
Well, the Republicans currently don't have any leadership when it comes to Ryan. he spends all of his time skipping town halls and meeting with donors. Yesterday he was actually at Universal in Hollywood. I tweeted about that. You know, it's pretty disappointing to the people in Wisconsin's 1st District that they have no voice at all. He, you know, avoids them like a plague. So if I was in a Republican Party, I'd probably be saying the same thing. But then again, all of them are doing it. Most of them are skipping town halls, so...
What's interesting to me, though, is that I look at someone like Justin Amash, who is a, you know, a far, in my view, one of those far right guys who came in, you know, during the Tea Party wave, who has said, and this just blew my mind when I read it. He said, we either need a change in direction from the speaker or we need a new speaker. He said that we need someone who is nonpartisan. And I'm going, wait a second. How do you get your guy, you chose him. How do you get that guy to be nonpartisan?
That's politics. It's just like Lindsey Graham last week when he came out and said it's not fair what we're doing on the Supreme Court. You know, they don't understand or think that the country is awake and they aren't counting on people to see right through it. But that's all politics. They're playing contact football. That's all it is. Of course, they're going to get somebody in there that they don't want to be partisan at all, so that they can claim that they want to be, and the Democrats won't work with them. So I mean, it's all mind games and head fakes.
So does Ryan go down, and is there, I heard some whispers that you might be thinking about that area.
Well, I think that I don't think that Ryan's going to go down because he makes them a lot of money, and at the end of the day, you know, that's what's most important to them. I definitely think that Ryan's in trouble in his district right now. He's at 20%. He's having a lot of issues. His constituents have billboards that says where's the speaker at. You know. I definitely think that he's in a lot of trouble.
He's at 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we know where he is. I don't know. One of those things. Last question I've got for you. You know, did you see the video of the guy being just yanked off the plane there at United?
Yes, I did.
Right thing to do?
In what country?
Exactly. And, you know, I look at that video and I'm going, really? Here? That happens? And, yeah, it does.
Well, this man was a doctor. He had patients to see the next day. Now, I know airlines have policies where, you know, they can deboard you and everything if the flight's full. I mean, I understand all that. And I can even okay all that. But the way that they did it and the way that they handled the whole thing, it was just traumatizing and horrible, and you don't treat people that way. And I mean, it really makes me upset watching images like that here. I mean, it's every day something else. Every day someone else is being disenfranchised. Every day someone's being hurt. And everybody just stands there and watches. Now, you know, on Twitter and everything, you know, people are going to boycott Delta and all, or United and everything, but it's just every day it's something else. People are being dehumanized to the emotions of others because of so much hate and rhetoric going around at the national level. And I really do blame the Trump effect for a lot of this. I mean, you know, I mean, even with the airlines right now and everything, I mean, with the travel bans he's trying to put into place, people have been dehumanized.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, you know, my first thought is, you know, how did it get to that? How did it escalate to that point? You could have just offered people a couple extra sweeteners and somebody would have eventually taken it. You know, you didn't have to resort to grabbing somebody out of the seat and dragging them down the aisle.
Yeah, and I mean, there's four or five different camera angles of that, too, and I watched all of them. And I mean, he didn't want to leave, and that's apparent. But you can't just grab somebody and do that physically. I mean, he's bleeding from the mouth.
Yeah.
He's traumatized, and this isn't... You know, this isn't some refugee from another country. This is a medical doctor, a guy who has patients to see. This is somebody who is a critical thinker, who isn't just scared to leave his country. He wants to help people that they did this to. It's appalling.
Yeah, and they did it so that a couple employees could hop a ride to the next place.
Yeah, I mean, I understand airlines, and I understand how it all works, and he probably had to get to another hub and everything, but... They could have found four people. He's a doctor. I mean, they didn't have to do it the way they did.
Nope,
I'm not defending them at all, but I'm just, they did it so violently.
just kind of blows your mind. Final thought, what do we do for the week? The big holidays coming up, what's the thought?
Well, big thought, Rick, I'm definitely about to do the impossible. So as soon as I can tell you what I'm working on, we'll definitely be on. In terms of this week, everybody just stay the course, keep fighting, vote. Make sure you are all voting. If you're in districts with special elections, vote. Don't let this sit. And then have a good holiday week.
There you go. We're reborn on the other side to come out and fight again. David, I appreciate the time, man.
Always. Have a great day.
Always great talking with you, David Yankovich. You want to check out his stuff? We got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on David's name, take you right there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.